Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25. Ephesians 5, verse number 25. I'm going to read just this one verse, and then I'm going to not preach on marriage tonight. It may appear that way, but I want to preach for a while on this subject, why I love my church. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Just this one verse, verse number 25, why I love my church. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And Lord, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. And it's is there because they heard the gospel through the ministry or one of the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, dear Lord, to stay in love with the church that you've given us to attend. And Lord, we wouldn't let the devil do what he likes to do. He hates the church. And so he's going to always try to convince people to hate what he hates and hate what God loves. And so I pray, Lord, that you just help us to kind of make up our mind about some things. Lord, be thankful and be glad for the place that you've given us to come to church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've been traveling off and on some the last month, and I don't know how to handle this. I told my wife here a while back, about a year ago, I said, I think I'm going to sabotage all of my meetings away from here. I can't get people to stop calling, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to every place I preach, and I'm going to be so mean that they'll never want to invite me back again. And so that was the plan, and so I just went out, and you young people that went with me, you saw that I am doing the best I can to live up to that. And then what's happening is people are calling Brother Young and saying, boy, it's so good to finally hear a preacher that'll tell it the way it really is. We want you to come and do this for us. So I guess I'm going to go the other way now and try to just be so sweet that maybe they can't stand that. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to tell you this. Off and on, the Lord opens a door, and I'll sneak away and preach in some other church. But I'll tell you this, I love this church. There's just no place like home. There is no place like home. I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I guess it goes deep with me because, you know what, I was here. The day that this church started, I'm one of the few of the 34 people that, what was that? It's a bottle of water. I keep shaking the pulpit and a bottle of water fell out. Amen. See if any hamburgers fall out. No such luck. Anyway, I was here the day that this church started. My brother Bob was here the day. Lori was here. David was here. Mom, were you here? Yeah, she was here. Anybody else raise your hand? We're there at the very first service at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Bill English was there. I'm looking on this side over here. Man, we are getting to be a pretty exclusive club here, bud. And but I love this place. I love the history of it. I love telling people, you know what? Our church started in a guy's living room back in 1973. I love saying that. I love telling the story about the stump pulpit. I told it this weekend when I was preaching, and was preaching to some preachers, actually, and just telling them, you know what, folks, it's not time to become cowardly, and it's not time to compromise. It's time for courage, and just told them the story of the old stump pulpit. And, you know, Dad was in a little liberal church over here trying to make a go of it, and people were not liking what he was preaching and not liking what he was saying. And by the way, folks, I might leave that alone, but let me just say this. Let's just say not too many things have changed. You ever hear somebody going from here back to there? They've left an independent fundamental Baptist church, King James Bible Baptist church, separated Baptist church, and they've gone to a liberal church, amen? Just because somebody decides they're going to get out of the convention doesn't mean they're going to get the convention out of them. And there's a couple churches, I may just one of these nights call them by name, that decided they're going to put independent fundamental on their sign, and they're wooing, they're worldly, they're compromising, and they're wooing some of our carnal members their direction. And I'm sorry. You know what? They're wolves in sheep clothing. You know what? If you're a liberal, then stop trying to pretend that you're an independent fundamental Baptist church. If you're not willing to stand and be separated, have some standards, be for the right things, then stop pretending. And you're not taking a step up by going to those type of places. You're backsliding to go to those kind. You're backsliding to go to those kind of churches. So some things haven't changed much. But what I'm saying is this, and listen to me. I love the fact that this church was birthed out of a fight. I like the term fighting fundamentalists. There ought to be some things we're worth fighting for. I'm glad my dad, when the pressure was on for him to not preach parts of the Bible, would stand up behind the pulpit in that little liberal church and say, you know what, the day I can't preach the Word of God here, I'll go find a tree stump and preach the Word of God from that tree stump. And you know what, the very first Sunday of Blessed Oak Baptist Church, when he walked in the living room of Bob Swaby's house, some of them men had went out in the woods and found him a stump and yanked it out of the ground and built a pulpit out of it. And my dad, for the first several years of the history of this church, just preached from that old pulpit, that old stump pulpit. We call it tree stump preaching. You know what that means? That means you show up with your bags already packed. You just set them down on either side of the pulpit and you say, thus saith the Lord. And you know what? If you can't find a group of people that want it, then you all move on down the road and keep preaching it. But you don't change your preaching. You don't change your preaching. Don't wet your finger. Don't test the wind. Don't take an opinion poll. Don't take a survey to see what's going to make people happy. You preach the Word of God. And if you do that, guess what? Hey, look around. You know what? People that want to hear the Word of God will find you. You aren't going to keep everybody. And by the way, church, don't get discouraged that we don't keep everybody. Okay? Because we're not going to change to keep people. All right? We're not going to drop standards to keep people. We're not going to curb down on the preaching to keep people. All right? We're not giving in to a bunch of rebels. It's amazing what a good preacher I am when parents have their kids small. And you know what, boy, I'm the greatest preacher in the world, and I'm, oh my goodness, we love you. And then they get up to be teenagers, start rebelling, and all of a sudden I'm the worst preacher in the world. And the honest truth is I haven't changed anything I've ever done. I haven't changed the way I preach. But all of a sudden, because some of the little kids around here grow up a little bit, decide they're going to get backslidden, get an attitude against the preaching of God's word and against the preacher, all of a sudden, you know, listen, folks, parents, let me help you with something here. I didn't really intend to go here, but I'm here, so I'm going to go here, you know. You follow your little backslidden teenager out the door, and you're going to doom that kid for the rest of their life from ever having a chance to turn out for God, because you just taught them something. If you don't like what's preached, you leave, and they'll spend the rest of their life leaving until pretty soon they aren't even going to be a-going. All right, so just stay the course. But I like this church. I like the history of it. I like the fight. By the way, you know what? We're willing to fight the devil, but we still love people. Amen. And you know, I love this. I just love pulling on the property here. I love the buildings. I mean, we haven't built anything spectacular, and this isn't a building. By the way, you know what? The group of men that built this, built it because you look at our buildings, and they're not overly fancy. There's not a lot of gingerbread, there's, you know what, it's just a tool. It's functional. It's nice. You know, we need to update a few things, but you know, it's just a tool. It's what it is. And I like the buildings. Brother Bolton was so excited. He hadn't been here since we had pavement out there. I like that we got a paved parking lot. I mean, we're getting uptown. We're going to get that thing finished, maybe before Jesus comes. Amen. We're going to keep after it, brother. I got to stop starting churches so we can get this thing paved, you know, amen. But one of the ladies said, could we just pave a path from here to the fellowship hall? Just a path. You see those gals, you know, they're on their high heels and they're doing this number trying to get out there. So why don't you see how much a path would be, brother, out to the... We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But I'm kind of glad that we've gotten there a little slow. And by the way, we're not parking buses to get there. I mean, we're not going to quit ordering gospel tracts to get there. We're not cutting back on outreach to get there, but yeah, we'll get there. Hold on, we'll get there. Why I love my church. I jotted down some things. Just an overflow. I don't know if this is a sermon or the overflow of the heart of a pastor. By the way, I walked around all morning long, just wanted to wipe tears. I love what's going on here. I love you folks. I mean that. I mean, there's folks up, good night, 5 o'clock this morning, getting ready to go out and get young people. And things go on all day long here. And I love what's happening. I'd sit up here sometimes in opening assembly and just want to weep. And about the time I feel like I'm going to break down and cry, some minion walks down the middle aisle. You know? I mean, there's some things that I can't foresee. I didn't predict. I just, you know, said, okay, bus captain, it's on you. You come up with something. So when you throw that out there, they just came up with something. So, never thought I'd have a minion come to Blessed Old Baptist Church. So this is why I love my church. I love my church. By the way, love is a choice. Hey, married couples, love's a choice. Hey, kids, love's a choice. Well, I don't love my dad. You don't love your dad because you choose not to. I don't love my wife anymore. You don't love her because you choose not to love her. If you choose to love her, then you'll love her. See, you thought it was all flowers and feelings and fuzzy. And no, love's a choice. You don't love your church because you choose not to love your church. If you love your church, it's because you choose to love your church. I choose to love my church. Why I love my church? Because I choose to love what Christ loves. I choose to love what Christ loves. Here we see in the scriptures that the Bible tells us that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, if Jesus loves the church, then you know what? If I'm going to be like Jesus, and I appreciate that, I walked into Levi Hall's room and he had a sign made hanging above where he teaches, right above where he teaches from the ceiling, that says the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus, Pastor Jerry Roth. I don't know how long that's been there. Did you just get that done? Oh, brother, I got excited, man. I was standing under it talking to the kids before I looked up and he pointed it out. I didn't even notice it. Hey, guess what? The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Now, folks, listen to me. You young people, if you decide to buy into that and you commit to that, and you decide that you're going to study the Lord Jesus Christ as he's presented in the Bible, and you're going to get as close to him as possible, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You begin to think like Jesus thinks. And by the way, if you think scripturally, you'll feel appropriately, and then you'll act wisely. And it all starts up here. All righty? Stop answering this question. Stop answering this question. When someone says, what do you think about this? You say, I'm not ever going to answer that question again, what I think about it. But let's discuss what Jesus thinks about it. Because you know what? It's not important what I think or what you think. It's what Jesus thinks about it. And if you think like Christ, you'll feel like Christ. And if you feel like Christ, you'll act like Christ. And so you know what? If he loves something, I want to love it. Amen. By the way, if he hates something, I want to hate it. The things, as I study in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time Jesus would get mad, I'd take a look at it, and I'd decide, why did he get mad there? And you know what? Anytime that happens around me, I'm going to get mad also. How about that? Are you getting mad about things that would make Jesus happy? Are you getting happy about things that would make Jesus mad? And the whole goal of this thing is for us to decide that we're going to pursue Christ-like. We're going to study him and we're going to examine everything that he felt and everything that he said. And we're going to try as best we can to be like Jesus. And you know what? When I study this Bible, you know what I find out? Jesus loves the church. When John the Revelator had that amazing vision in Revelation chapter number 1, and he saw a vision of Christ, guess where Jesus was? He was right in the midst of those candlesticks. You know why? Because those represented the churches, and Jesus just likes the church. He just loves the church. And now what I'm saying is this. Watch this. If you're falling out of love with your church, it's because something is shifting in your mind. Watch this. Shifting in your mind. What I said in my prayer, I meant. I hear somebody say, well, I hate Blessed Oak Baptist Church. I thought, well, so's the devil. I guess that's one thing you and him have in common. Why in the world would you hate a place that's given itself and dedicated itself to the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you hate a place that that raised over $110,000 to send to the mission field last year. I mean, come on, folks, listen to me. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you. Why? I'm asking you an honest question. Why would you go to a church that doesn't do anything for missions and leave a church that gives its heart to missions? You see, folks, watch this. You fall in love with the things that Jesus falls in love with, and you'll love the church. All right? So there's a lot of reasons I love my church. Number one, because I choose to love what Christ loves. Since Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, I think I'll love my church and give myself for it. How about that? Number two, because I choose to invest in my church. Go over to Matthew chapter number six. Matthew chapter number six. I'm going to have you look at some scriptures. Folks, I want to challenge you tonight. I want you to, through the scriptures, do an examination of your heart. Every single person that ever leaves a church or falls out of love with the church, they go through a process, and we need to do a checkup. And is my feelings, and the easiest thing in the world to say, well, you know what, the church has changed, or the preacher's changed, or this has happened. Wait a minute. Maybe it's just what's going on in your heart. Okay, but number one, I love my church because I choose to love what Christ loves. Number two, I love my church because I choose to invest in my church. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 19 and 20 and 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now you spend your life investing in your church, you know what? Your heart's going to follow your treasure. Now, look right up here. Have you stopped tithing? It's the easiest thing in the world. Say, well, the church has just changed. Have you stopped tithing? Do you tithe? No, but, no. Here's the question. Do you tithe? Do you, on top of tithe, bring offerings? By the way, do you bring something on Wednesday night? Because you know what? If you're investing in the buildings, you're probably going to take care of the buildings. All right. Do you bring something for Sunday school, or do you grab one of the missions envelope and faithfully put something into our missions program? If you do, you're probably going to linger back there in Missionary Hall and read some letters, because you know what? Everything that's going on back there, you've got a part of. Now, folks, the thing about it is, here's what these verses are saying. You know what? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. The reason some of you, your heart is so strong towards the world, is that's where all your investment is. You're investing in temporal things. Okay, and you know what? Wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to follow it. And so I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know why? Because I invest in Blessed Hope Baptist Church and have over the years, me and my wife, through both the general fund and our tithes and offerings, missions program, Wednesday night, let's keep the buildings looking sharp. Let's raise money for the next project, you know. Let's be a part of this thing. You know what? If you'll just faithfully do that, you know what? You're going to find that you love your church. But not just invest your money, invest your time. Invest your time. Not only just to come here, but folks, to serve here. We're going to talk about serving the Lord in just a minute, but also your talent. Look right up here. You know what? If God's given you some singing talent, you ought to join the choir at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe our choir ought to be twice the size it is. Let me say it again. I believe our choir ought to be twice the size it is. Too many people have gotten too attached to that extra little hour that they don't have to come. And you know what? The honest truth is, you know what? Music is a tremendous... Listen, you've got talent, but you're not going to invest it. You've got time, but you're not going to invest it. You've got some resources and finances, and yet you're not investing it. And next thing you know, well, I don't know. I just don't feel the same way about my church I used to feel. Folks, you know why I love my church? Because I invest in my church. You know why I love my church? Because I choose to love what Christ loves. I invest in my church. If you'll invest in your church, you'll stay in love with your church. Number three, watch this. Here's another reason I love this church. Because of the attitude of this congregation towards the preaching of God's word. Now, I'm going to have you go to Acts chapter 17, and I think one of our evangelists maybe touched on this or preached on this a little bit. But I want to say this, folks. Acts chapter number 17. We are pointed to a church there in the Bible, Acts chapter 17. We're pointed to a church that was found in the city of Berea. in chapter 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know what I want to say about Blessed Hope Baptist Church? One of the things that just sets it apart and makes it unique is how excited our congregation is about the preaching of the Bible. I read about these folks where it says they received the word with all readiness of mind. And then it may not be true down to every single person because I understand that. I understand some people are growing and you know what? You can get a little cold. And by the way, let's examine ourselves right now. But let me just say this. I just love the fact that I can come to a pulpit and preach where people want to hear the Bible. They're excited to hear the Bible. And Brother Bolton this morning. And by the way, it happened with Brother Graham too. Sunday morning when Brother Graham kicked it off, he said they're sitting up there and they're looking at the clock. And I usually give it to them somewhere between 11 and 5 after 11. Most of the time, the preacher is walking to the pulpit here. So they always say, well, what time do I need to be done on Sunday morning? Well, with our bus ministry and our children's church and everything trying to be coordinated, we do try to hit a window on Sunday morning. And so I'll tell them, boy, as best as possible, try to be done no later than a quarter till. And every one of them will sit up there that's never preached here or hadn't preached here in a while will say the same thing. Oh, well, that's 45-minute preacher. I won't need that long. I'll be done probably 30, 35 minutes. And I'll go down and I'll sit by my wife and I'll say something like this to her. Watch them fall underneath the spell. You know, these evangelists, I'm just telling you, I'm telling you the truth. All right, and we laugh about it. Some guy comes up here with a 30-minute message, and he preaches it at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and it turns into a 50-minute message. Because they go and they preach, and folks, listen to me. I preach out enough to see this and sense this, and this is one of the reasons I like coming home. I'm sick. I don't understand. I'm sick and tired of an attitude of the average church towards the preaching of the Bible. And I mean, you know what? You got to almost amen yourself, and I have a few times while I was out there. I can't get them to say amen. I'll walk down and amen myself, amen. And you know what? I don't know what it is about Baptist people. Some of them have just decided, you know what? I'm just going to stand out here and stare at the preacher. And I'm just going to stay poker faced. And you know what? I'm not going to show any emotion. And I'm not going to say amen. Listen, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, thank you for being responsive and receptive to the preaching of the Bible. And we'll see these young evangelists like Brandon Graham. He got up here and, man, he's took off preaching. And when he said something good, everybody shouts amen. And you see him, all of a sudden, he's kind of like, hey, this is fun, you know. I'm going to try this. So he says something else. Everybody says amen. He tells something funny. Everybody laughs. And you can almost see the shock on their face, man. Wow. I mean, folks, listen. Let's not ever lose that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's not ever lose that. Here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Brother Bolton's the same way. He told me, he said, oh, I'll be 30, 35 minutes. I'm going to give you some of that back. I got up here and looked. When he got done, it was noon. It was noon. You know what? He fell under the spell. Now, some of you, I may be killing me right now and killing the spirit because some of you think, hey, if that's why they're going long. We'll shut them down, preacher. We can... couple older ladies visited the church here. Oh, this has been a couple years ago. I know them. By the way, I know them, okay? And I saw them coming to the church, and I won't tell you how I know them, or you might figure out who they are, but it's just, you know, a couple old crabs came in here, visit Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about people that at least claim to be saved. They've never told their face they're saved, but they claim to be saved. They sat down back near the back and they just kind of, you know, stand there and they do that because they've always been in churches where you do that. You stand back and you stare down the preacher and you know, you sit there, especially if you're an old woman, you know, if you just give him a mean enough look, you can intimidate him. They just never have run into a guy like Jerry Ross very many times in their life. I mean, that's just like sick him to a hound dog. I mean, I don't care. And churches all over, and by the way, you know why they get by with it or think they can? Because too many preachers walk into churches and a handful of older women run that place. And they've run the preacher up the tree, the last 10 preachers that have come, and they squawk and carry on and bite backbiting. I'm messing my words up. I'm going to end up cussing if I'm not careful here. It's one of those nights where I'm scared to death something wrong's going to come out here. Especially when I get on this subject. They've never had a man of God just look them right in the eyeball and call them on what they are and point them to the Bible. And they didn't come back, told one of the other ladies in our church, they're not coming back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I thought, well, good. And she said, why won't you come back? She said, well, every time he preaches and says something, half the men in the church are screaming amen. How about that? How about that? Especially that Jeffrey Reiser. They named you, brother. They named you. So I told this lady that was telling me this, I said, you go back and tell your little friends that if they ever do come back to Blessed Old Baptist Church, I'm going to set Jeffrey Reiser right between them. And I'm going to set a bunch of these other men all around them. And they're going to scream and amen everything I say. So if they come back, they can expect that. You know what? Listen, think about that. Why were they really bothered? First of all, they're not used to being in a church where men run things. Let that settle in on you, ma'am, ladies. Let that settle in on you a little bit. By the way, ladies, you ought to be glad you're in a church where men run things. You know, they can't. You know what they want? You know what they expected? Come on now, he's back in the foyer. He's still amening. See, what's worked on everybody else is when they griped about that, what the preacher's supposed to do is say, oh, my goodness, oh, I'm going to lose these two people. And so I better go talk to Jeffrey and some of the other guys and say, you've got to settle down because we're going to lose members if you keep saying amen. That's how they've gotten their way in every other place they've been. Guess what? They're not getting their way here. Why does it bother them that people are excited about the preaching of the Bible? Why is it bothering them that they're saying somebody's saying amen to what the preacher's preaching up here? Why is it bothering them? You know why? Because they want to spread this little leaven of let's stare down the preacher and let's not be excited and let's not amen him. And let's just keep him always wondering whether or not this is his last Sunday or not, because if he don't tow the rope. And by the way, I don't know what kind of church background y'all come out of, but that might be in some of your hearts a little bit. You may have seen that and been infected more than you know about it. Now listen to me. I think we need to have a revival. All right, there ain't enough amen going on right up here. If you won't amen at this age, you're not going to amen when you're men one of these days. You might as well start learning now. What? Why are you so scared? Are you afraid some of your friends figure out that you're actually for the preacher and for the preaching and for what we're standing around here? Are you so worried about what these little girls are thinking over here? Because if you're trying to impress a girl that would be impressed by you not being excited about what's going on at Blessed Hope, you're chasing the wrong young lady. Matter of fact, you ought to amen to scare those little birds off. Just let them know. If you don't like what's going on around here, you're not excited about things out, you're not for the preacher, you're not for that book, you know what? I wouldn't want to be married to you anyway. Because you'll be sitting on the back row of a church one of these days criticizing people like Jeffrey Reiser for saying amen. Amen. Both those ladies, I got thinking about that. Both those ladies are widows. Yeah, they are. Well, brother, I wasn't going to go there, but we had to look into the deaths of their husbands, amen. I'm not suggesting they murdered them. I'm suggesting the guys may have wanted to do whatever it took to get out of that marriage, amen. It's good for us. This is good preaching. Listen, folks, you know what? Listen. People that walk in here and they don't like what's going on here, there's a reason. And listen, stop falling into this nonsense of, well, you know what? Some people come and they don't stay. And so if we just change this, we could keep stopping. We keep the pulpit hot for a reason. We keep the preaching shotgun straight for a reason. We keep things running biblical for a reason. And you know what? People that love the Bible is going to love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And people that don't love the Bible, you know, listen, the biggest critics of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, I want you to stop and think about it. Those of you that listen to these critics and you're still Facebook friends with them and you still go out to eat with them. That's why your spirit's souring. Okay, the biggest critics of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, why don't you take a look at where they're at spiritually? Why don't you take a look at their life? No, an honest look at their life. Why don't they like what's going on around here? Why all of a sudden is this such a bad place? Stay with me. Amen. That's why I love my church. I wouldn't change that for nothing. It's what we do. Amen. That's a Bible church. Church, never lose your attitude towards the preaching of the Word of God. Never lose your excitement. Men, what I said to these young men right here goes for every man in this church. There ought to be some men that say amen and some men that don't say amen. There ought to be some men that are vocal. You don't have to shout as loud as everybody else, but you ought to say it loud enough so that your wife understands you're for the preacher and your kids understand that you're for the preacher. And anybody you're sitting near, if you're sitting near some other people that you can't say amen because you're worried about what they think, you're with the wrong crowd, sir. You're with the wrong crowd and you're letting your wife hang around the wrong people. So just stay in love with the church, amen. Number four, here's why I love my church, because of the excitement of this congregation towards serving the Lord. In Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. I like being in a church. I had a preacher come to me. No, he didn't come to me. He was preaching this week at the conference I was at, and he said, I don't know what it is in the average congregation, but people are telling me that 90%, 10% of the church do 90% of the work, or 20% of the church do 80% of the work. And I sat back there and said, man, I thank God I don't go to that kind of church. I mean, you know what? It's hard to find somebody that goes to Blessed Old Baptist Church that's not plugged in doing something somewhere. And by the way, there are no unimportant jobs. Well, preacher, I serve the Lord, but it's not a big thing. There's no little things. If it's for the Lord, it's a big thing. Man, plug in. Don't be a pew bump. Plug in. Get a part. Be a part. Do it. Because of the excitement of the congregation towards serving the Lord. You know what I loved about this morning? I just saw excitement. And you know what, folks? Listen, watch this. If you're excited about it, then you know what? Those kids you bring on the bus are going to get excited about it. You say, preacher, well, I'm going to say this, all right? You know, why are the majority of our teens so excited about serving the Lord? Because they've got a pastor that's excited about serving the Lord. And they've got some parents that are excited about serving the Lord. And they're under the influence of some adults that are excited about serving the Lord. And you know what? They're going to just kind of think it's normal to be excited about serving the Lord. Now listen to me, folks. Let's keep that excitement going. All right? I mean, you know what I like about this church is it's so unpredictable. It's just, I mean, I just come here to find out what's going to happen next. You say, but you're in charge. Well, I think so. But every once in a while something will happen. I'll just lose it, man. By the way, that's part of delegation. It really is. You delegate something, you know, delegate some things. You know what's fun about me not having to plan every single detail of every single thing is that I can come to church and get surprised too. Sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised. Sometimes I'm like, oh no. But I always say this, I'd rather pull people back than have to push them forward. And you know what? I'm going to hand some of you, and we're going to do it in 2017. I'm trusting more and more of our men with more and more responsibility, and that means you're going to have to make some decisions. Now, wait a minute. You make sure that every decision you make, number one, is pleasing to the Lord. And if you have a doubt whether or not your pastor would be good with it or not, you ought to make a phone call. Just double check. But you know what? A preacher that has to micromanage and has to do everything, he isn't going to pastor a very big congregation because he's going to run out of time. And it's not really, listen, not only that, he's robbing people of his church. You all have some skill sets. And by the way, when I say I put men in charge of some things, let me say this, wives, you are the completer. You are the helpmeet. And you know, when I give it to a man, I'm really giving it to a husband-wife team. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've said it a lot around here, but I haven't said it in a while. You dust for fingerprints anything that's ever succeeded around here. Somewhere on that, you'll find my wife's fingerprints. Anything I've ever done that succeeded, my wife in some ways contributed that and helped it, undergirded that, and behind the scenes done sometimes a lion's share of the work. So I'm not talking about leaving the ladies out. I'm talking about keeping ladies underneath the authority of their husbands. How about that? I think it's in the Bible. Didn't we start there? Ephesians chapter 5. And that's the way it works, and that's the way it works well. And so that's what we're going to continue to do. But keep that excitement. Keep that excitement. Let me just say something about our ministries here, and because you need to not only understand what's going on, but why it's going on. You ever gotten a bulletin where you opened it up and it was just blank pages? I mean, over there on upcoming events, it was just a blank page. Listen, folks, I had a family visit the church. They didn't end up staying here. And I know why, and you know what? They wouldn't have probably been all right with some of the stands we took. They'd had a different background as far as even doctrinally in some areas, but they'd gotten out of church and wanted to get back in church, and so they visited. They filled out a visitor's card. The next week, I stopped into their house, and I said, "What brought you to Blessed Hope Baptist Church?" And the wife piped up and said, "Well, when we decided we need to get back in church, the first church we thought of was yours, because every time we come by your sign, there's something different going on." I told him, "There's always something going on down there. Let's try that church." And that's why, listen, when somebody's got a church sign, all they ever do is just put goofy sayings on it. Maybe it's because there's nothing else to announce. Listen, I just figured this out. By the way, parents, I'm going to help you with this too. If there's a lot of griping and mumbling, complaining going on in your house, you know what? People are going to talk about something. Sunday school teachers, it's good for you that are going to work with youth. By the way, bus captains. You know what? You know what? Folks, if you don't give people, I'm just telling you, people are people the world over. If you don't keep something exciting, I call it controlling the buzz. People are going to talk about something. If you don't give folks something exciting to talk about, and exciting to plan for, and exciting to look forward to, and exciting to talk about, you know what? Our natural carnal nature, when there's a void, tends to go towards negativity. All right. Now, for some Christians, I can get up and talk about all the exciting and positive things, and you still choose to go to negativity. Because, you know, it's a sin for a Baptist to be excited about what's going on at the church. Those two ladies ever come back, I'm going to introduce you to them, because you'd be a good third party for them. All right. Your preacher gets up and says, "Folks, we're going to do something." You know what? Don't sit out there looking like a calf looking at a new gate. Baptists, it takes them 24 hours to decide whether they actually get excited or not. Let me ponder that. Why don't you just decide you're going to get excited about it, amen? So there we go. Just jump in. I mean, there's a reason. You know what? The reason we have an excitement around here is because there's always something exciting coming up. All right? I mean, there is. Like I said, we've got some upcoming things. There's some exciting things. I'm looking forward to Harvest Sunday. Say, "Well, I don't even understand why we do a Harvest Sunday." So we can put something in the bulletin for you to get excited about. Because if you're not excited, you're gossiping, complaining about something. So you're just taxing my mind all the time to come up with something. Amen. Amen. Stay excited. Be excited. You find your family grumbling, complaining a lot, probably because there's a void there. Just a vacuum. What are the kids looking forward to? By the way, my wife just doesn't seem very happy. What is it that she's looking forward to doing with you that you've planned, sir, in the next 2 weeks or the next month? See, a lot of times we want to blame fellowship when we aren't providing leadership. All right. So, you know what? If Pastor Jerry Ross can keep this congregation excited, then maybe you can keep your family excited about something going to happen, something going on. Hey, are you in a rut? I'm helping you right now. Are you in a rut? I mentioned this thing about Ship Shawana. Me and my wife's going to sneak up there. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I got under such conviction, and I can't tell you why. I got under such conviction. I think she planned it. I got to think, man, I'm in a rut on my marriage. My wife is, there's nothing, we've been busy, but not really anything for us, and so, yeah, guess what? Is it this week we're going? This week I'm taking her Friday and Saturday. Listen, nobody gets sick, nobody die. And that goes for the second and third week of October, okay? I've been looking for a 2 weeks vacation. I mean it. I'm going to call some of our folks and say, listen, all right, you can die before this, you can die after this. I can't have you dying right here. Thank you, Samuel. I wish I could take your sense of humor and put it in about half of my adults right now, all right? You only view life from the pew. You've never taken 1 second trying to view it from the pulpit, but if you have 50 weeks of your life and pour out and pour out and pour out, trust me, you need to get away from time to time. So, Samuel, are you called to preach? Are you? You don't know yet? Let me tell you something. You are. I'm just telling you, okay? I know God hadn't told you yet, but I'm just telling you. I wanted to tell you before God did. Because when you get up the other day in the pulpit, you had a good pulpit. He's funny, man. He's hilarious. And he's not normal here. I mean, that is proof. That is proof, brother. No, nobody that's normal up here ends up here. Normal people don't end up here. Amen. Anyway. Glory to God, I don't even know what I was talking about now. So anyway, me and my wife, we're going to take off for a couple of days. Hey, husband, plan something this month or next month. Anything but the Mansfield thing. And don't let her talk you into that no matter what happens. All right. That would be like the supreme proof of love for you to take a day and take her up to Mansfield. And the food's good. Food's all right. All right, where was I? Here we are. Because of the excitement of the congregation towards serving the Lord. Hey, listen, everybody in here, listen to me. Just take what I just said. Your kids ought to be excited to come to your Sunday school class. Your kids ought to be excited to ride your bus. Excited to ride your bus. You don't have to talk kids into coming who are excited. I had a man tell me once that drove my bus, and he said, when I was a bus captain up in Chicago, he told me, I am convinced that the number one reason that the kids ride your bus is because they cannot wait to see what crazy thing you're going to do this week. And folks, listen to me. That's okay. I mean, you know what? We just get in a rut. We just, you know, we do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again in nausea. And I tell our Sunday school teachers from time to time, hey, you ought to just change your room around every once in a while. Just change it up. I mean, just flip the chairs around so they walk in. They're like, what are we doing? Just anything. Change the decoration. You know what? We're getting ready to end our fall program, but I don't think we've passed any kind of rule or law against you doing something during the month of November for your class that would bring some excitement to it. I mean, folks, listen to me. If you'll do that in your family, and you'll do that in your... Did you hear what I've said it so many times? If Jerry Ross is going to do it, I'm going to have a good time doing it. Why don't you decide to have a good time serving the Lord? No more complaining. No more whining about it. If it's boring to you, that's your fault. If it's boring, that's your fault. Stop being boring. That's why you're bored, because you're living inside a boring person. Stop being boring. All right, come on, you're not children. You're not elementary kids that need somebody, mommy and daddy planning something for you to keep you amused. Why don't you be the planner? Well, this is good. This is why I love my church, because I like yelling at you. Because, here's another reason, because of the dedication exhibited in reaching the lost. I love this church. I love the bus ministry. Let me just say it. I love the bus ministry. Man, you know what? Stay in love with the bus ministry. You know, Brother Pat Bolton said it at my table today. He said, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is absolutely unusual in so many regards, but he said, number one is this. Most churches will either tolerate the bus ministry or absolutely hate the bus ministry. He said, most churches, you can run buses, but you have to keep every effect of that in a separate building or at a separate time, because the people do not, you know what? They don't want their perfect little services and their perfect little thing messed up by bus families and bus kids. And you know what? That is more true than you have any idea of. There's people all the time say, well, you don't put your bus teams with your teams, do you? And I'm like, absolutely. Oh, we don't do that at our church. I said, well, why not? And this is what a guy told me. He said, well, you know, we put them in the Christian school and we put them in Christian homes, or we homeschool them and we keep them away from all of the bad influence and all of that. And you know what? Then we bring them, the bus kids in on Sunday. We put our kids with those kids. Now, that might sound real spiritual, but let me just say something to you. If your kids are so weak spiritually that they can have all of those good influences except for 2 hours on a Sunday morning, and they can't get near a bad influence without folding like a lawn chair and becoming what that kid is, then you ought to take a look at all the other program and everything else you're teaching them. Because listen, you know what these young people are doing? They are partnering with their pastor in helping to reach and influence these teens for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's why they're all together, Brother Levi. That's why I want to keep Sister Christine. That's why I want to keep them all together. If you all are in the Christian school and on Sunday night and Wednesday night and everything else around here, and you're getting the right influence at home and everything else, you know what? Good night. You ought to catch on to the fact that these kids coming in, you know what? They're not some bunch of lepers to keep off somewhere. They're potentially the future potential members of your youth group. And you know what? You ought to start getting someone, hey, come back on Sunday night. Hey, mom, my mom and dad, we'll come by and pick you up. Hey, mom and dad, would you be willing to do that? Well, preacher, maybe we ought to run buses. Well, good night. How many empty seats were in vehicles that showed up here tonight? Well, what I'm saying is get the vision. Amen? I mean, listen, let's keep that determination. You serious about this? You'd like to have 1/3 of your Christian school bus kids? Yes! No, actually, I'm not. I'd like to have 2/3. How about that? How about that? I love these kids. I think they're perfect. Listen, I wouldn't separate them for anything in the world. Because you know what? You say, well, preacher, they don't live in the right kind of homes. And sometimes they have these habits. And say, you know what most of them are doing? They're running from all that junk towards Jesus, while a bunch of Christian school kids are trying to run past them towards the world. That don't even make sense to me. That's why I want these kids in the bus ministry. Listen, I'll just tell you this, all right? I think if I sat and really thought about it, I could figure out which of our teens are on bus routes and who's not. But I will tell you this. I guarantee the most selfish kid in this room is probably not in the bus ministry. And probably the one that has the most compassion and care and really reach out to these kids is in the bus ministry. So if you got a selfish kid, let me help you fix it. Well, I talked to her about it, and she said, that's just not her thing. What do you mean it's not her thing? Why don't you make it her thing? Why don't you stop going and asking what they would like to do today? Start being a mom and dad. Why don't you lose yourself? Forget about yourself. Okay. Amen. All right. Let's get into the bus ministry. I love the bus ministry. We're on track this year. This is amazing to me. We're on track this year, on track, to pass out over 15,000 gospel tracts in this ministry. Amen. I love the fact that you guys are breaking me buying tracts. Just breaking me. We ordered 10,000 of our cards, our Make a Difference cards. Teenagers, you know what you're going to be passing out this Wednesday? Give me this mountain cards. Because we ran out of the Make a Difference card. That means 10,000 of them got passed out. Just the cards. Not all the tracks that I keep filling the track rack. I mean, every single week I go back there and I have to put more tracks in there. I've got preachers telling me they haven't had to put a new track in the track rack for 6 months. Folks, that's why I love this church. All right, you know what? That other church you think you're going to be happy in? Why don't you go check the track rack? Why don't you go check out their bus ministry? Check how much they give to worldwide missions. All right, come on now. Let's stay in love with a church that's actually reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I want to say a thank you to the families that are working in our nursing home ministries. And I mean that. Pure religion and undefiled. Bus ministry and nursing home, if you can keep young people, we do it. We have our young people. Literally, our young people do one of our nursing homes. Say, preacher, is that by accident? That's completely by design. I want our young people involved in pure religion. Okay, you don't go to a nursing home for what you get. It's, you're, I mean, there's, You're there to give. And by the way, when you go with that attitude, isn't it amazing what you get? I mean, you know what? If you can keep them after the fatherless and after the widows and keep people, listen, what I'm saying is this. Let's just keep doing what we're doing and stay in love with it. Why I love my church, I'll give you the last one. Because of your willingness to suffer the reproach that comes with living a separated, godly life. Amen. Because of your willingness to suffer the reproach that comes with living a separated, godly life. Now, let me tell you something. If you're connected with this church and you live by the standards that we teach here, which, by the way, are Bible standards, you're going to suffer some reproach for it. And some of you young people kind of have to go through that. You have to grow through it. Because it's not always easy, and people are very unkind sometimes. But you know what? There's something about a group of people that just says and gets to the point where they say, you know what? I know what the Bible says, and I know what pleases the Lord. If every other Christian in this county want to throw rocks at this church because we have some standards, let them throw some rocks. But I have seen these other churches and their young people coming back from a youth activity and watch them get off the bus at a gas station or a restaurant. You know what? Might as well be watching the public school kids getting off the bus. We get to the day where there's no difference in what you see in the young people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and what you see from lost people, then we haven't reached the world. The world's reached us. So just be willing to bear reproach. Take it as a badge of honor. Don't apologize for it. All right? I mean, stand up. Stand up. Because it does make a difference. I'm going to tell you one story and we'll be done. And I wouldn't tell this story, and didn't for years, because of the fact they were still in business. But the couple down there at Stoll's, Rodney and who? Carla? Rodney and Carla. Used to run Stoll's down here, and they closed it down now and sold it. But for years and years and years, Rodney and Carla, we dealt with them there. And by the way, good people, sweet people. I've sat down and talked to them about the Lord, and they gave salvation testimonies. As far as I know, they're saved people. But they loved our young people. I'd take the kids, one of the kids that would memorize a certain amount of verses or do well on the quiz, me and Cheryl would take them out to breakfast. We've taken missionaries down there and evangelists down there. We've taken teens down there. I mean, listen, we've done a lot of business at Stoll's over the year. So July of 2005, I become pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so I'm watching the finances a lot closer than I was watching it before because it wasn't under my area of oversight. And one of the things I started noticing as we were getting the bills in is that, man, I've taken several missionaries and they had it down there. We just signed a ticket. Anytime I'd take somebody, we'd just sign a ticket and they'd gather the tickets together. And once a month, they'd add them up, send us a bill, and we'd just send them one check. Just made it easy. Okay? Well, I noticed about 3, 4, 5 months into pastoring, I've never seen a bill from Stoll's. And so I went down there. Next time I was in town, stopped in, went back to the office, knocked on the door. Rodney's in there doing the paperwork. I said, hey, I haven't got a bill from y'all. I mean, I'm scared to death. One of these days I'm going to have a business meeting report, and there's going to be, you know, $837 worth of Stoll's, and they're going to think that's a one-month bill. And, you know, I'm like, come, hey. And he said, okay. He said, when I get to it, don't worry about it. When I get to it. And I said, okay, well, just try to get something to me. I forgot about it. Figured they'd send it 2 or 3 months later. I haven't got a bill. And so I go back down there. And I catch Carla this time. And she said, okay, I'll talk to Rodney about it. And we'll get something. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to have a year's worth of bills here. There's going to be $12,000 worth of Stoll's bills here, you know. And so, you know, I keep going by there. It's been a year now, and I get busy, and I forget about it, so now it's been over a year, and finally I've just told Cheryl, I don't want to be mean, but I'm going to go down there, and I'm not leaving until they get this, because I don't want to get this huge, giant bill from Stoll's, you know. So I went in there, and I caught them both together, and I said, listen, guys, you got to put yourself in my situation here. I said, first of all, I owe you, and if I owe you, I want to pay you. And I said, also, I'd like to pay it monthly, not yearly. And they looked at each other and smiled, and Rodney looked at me and said, preacher, have you ever got a bill from us? I said, no, that's why I'm here. He said, if you ever do, then pay it. And if you don't, then be thankful. And I looked at them, and I said, and then Carla got tears in her eyes, and she looked over her husband. She said, "Preacher, we don't do that for everybody. We don't do that for anybody else. But your young people, there's something to them. You don't see it. And every time they come in here, we just sit back and love it." Are you listening, church? Are you listening, young people? Oh, everybody thinks we're odd. Everybody thinks, no, that's not what everybody thinks. Most people look at you young ladies and say, that's the way it's really supposed to be. They may not even make their kids do the same thing, but down in their heart, there, that is the way it's supposed to be. They look at you young men, you come in, your haircut, you're sharp. You open the door, you got manners, you say thank you, you say yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And you know what? They look at that and say, that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, folks, I took over in 2005, okay? All right, I don't know, did they go out of business last year, 2 years now? I never, ever, and I'm talking about I take, matter of fact, once I found out they weren't going to charge me, I started... Me and Cheryl ate down there like two times a day. We did. I'm kidding. We did not do it. We did not do it. She did, but I did not. I think I'm a better Christian than that, amen. So. What we're doing, let them laugh. Let them scoff. Let the backsliders throw their stones. Let them play the blame game. You know, I'm glad we're here for a handful of people so they got an excuse why they're a heathen. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't listen to that. Because the Rodneys and the Carlas and the business people of this community and the lost people of this community, whether they ever say it or not, there's something about our young people that says, that's a Christian. That's the way it's supposed to be. That honors the Lord. That reminds me of my great-grandma or my grandma and the kind of old-time religion that she had. Amen. And those are some of the reasons I love Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, reignite within our hearts a love for our church. Don't let the devil get in, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you just keep us doing what we've done here and what we've always done here and standing for the right things and preaching the right things and living in such a way where there's a chance for this community to really have a lighthouse. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, oh no. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ is being hid under the bushel of worldliness to the point where there's not any difference between that which is supposed to be light and darkness. And God, may we recommit ourselves. Lord, the great falling away is happening and more people are choosing the world over Jesus, and that's just the way it's going to be in these latter days. But Lord, may it be said of one church, they stuck to the old paths. They didn't compromise. They didn't overreact to the critics. They didn't change because some backslider mumbled something under their breath. They just decided they're going to hold on to that old King James Holy Bible and just live the way that Christians are supposed to live. Lord, in the process of doing that, dear God, may we love people. Keep after souls, dear God. Do what we can, dear God, to spread the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 18 souls in the last 3 weeks. Just the last 3 weeks, Lord, we're blessed. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just help us just to keep going after them. Keep our hearts right. Keep our young people's hearts right. Keep them away from scorners and scoffers and enticers, Lord, and help them just to stand firm on old-time religion. Take it into the next generation. We pray these things in Jesus' name.